Ephesians 4, verse 1 beginning. Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. I'll ask you to leave your Bibles open to that text. We'll be looking at that passage again later in our study. One of my favorite books on the subject of evidence for faith in God is the book, What Darwin Didn't Know. Written by a medical doctor, Dr. Jeffrey Simmons, the book presents just an abundance of information about the human body. And it's information that, when properly considered, certainly challenges the widely accepted belief that all life came about through the agents of some random, unguided physical process. According to Dr. Simmons, there are just a number of processes within the human body that have lots and lots of steps, loads of complex features, which must be in place all at the same time for that process to function as it should. Otherwise, the process does not work, and accordingly, human life, as we know it, could not exist. Now, these are all things that have been discovered since the time of Charles Darwin. The whole premise of the book is simply this: had he known what we know now, he likely would have abandoned his theory. Because you see, the theory of evolution demands that all life evolve over long periods of time, starting with simple features and moving toward greater complexity. But as Dr. Simmons points out, these features are properly described as irreducibly complex. They simply could not have evolved. So whatever explanation you want to give as to how things originated, the theory of evolution just does not cut it as a proper explanation. I found it to be a compelling read. If you're looking for some material like this, I found it a rather easy read as well. Would recommend it to you. Now, I want to share, I've said all of that to say this, I want to share an excerpt from the book. But I want to be upfront, okay? My primary reason for doing it is not to emphasize this morning why one should believe in God. That's really kind of a secondary reason. I was glad to slip a little bit of that in this morning, but it's really not the primary reason. Now, what I wanted you to do is listen to this excerpt, and I want you to think about something, okay? Ready? I want you to think about the church. I'm going to read a passage where this Dr. Simmons is talking about activity within the human body. And I want you to think about the church, okay? Pretty simple approach, pretty simple assignment. Here we go. He writes, "The interior of the human body is a much busier place than New York City, London, Mexico City, Tokyo, and Bombay combined." We probably should stop and just let that sentence settle into our minds. 10 to 75 trillion cells participate in more than a quadrillion purposeful chemical interactions each day. You ready? That help us walk, breathe, think, sleep, procreate, see, hear, smell, feel, digest food, eliminate waste, write, read, talk, make red cells, remove dead cells, fight infections, behave, misbehave, absorb nutrients, transport oxygen, eliminate carbon dioxide, maintain balance, deep breath, carry on dialogue, understand instructions, argue, I don't know why he threw that one in there, and make complex decisions, just to name a few common activities. Okay, that's why he threw it in. That's a common activity. In addition, each of these processes has dozens and sometimes hundreds of smaller interacting steps, checks, counterchecks, balances, and regulatory mechanisms. And further, all of these steps have smaller chemical substeps. In many ways, the human body functions like an extremely well-organized blizzard of invisible chemical responses. That's a typo. That's on me. And rapidly changing electrical impulses. Okay, I'll give you a second. You ever thought about how much goes on in our bodies at one time? You get the feeling that this brief excerpt, which by the way is on page 16 of the book, and then he proceeds to unpack all of that. You get the feeling that you just really have touched the hem of the garment with an excerpt like that. You wonder how much goes on in one part of our bodies at one time. Or how about just within a single cell? Look that up sometime. Fascinating. But get this, not only is there lots and lots of activity, more than you can possibly imagine, it is purposeful activity. Every part of the body works together in unison. Remember what I asked you to think about? In unison to accomplish, to achieve a common purpose. There is a flurry of activity, all directed by the brain, an overall purpose for which all of the activity is being channeled, all of the activity is being geared toward achieving. There is unified commitment of the members to the achieving of that purpose. Now listen to verses 15 and 16 again. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. You see it there in the text? Now, I want to be clear. I don't want to insult your intelligence this morning. This group is filled with good Bible students, and you know that many times throughout the New Testament, the church is indeed described as the body of Christ. But that being the case, you also likely are aware that there is biblical precedent for preachers reminding Christians of things that they already know. The writing of 2 Peter comes to mind, where in chapter 1, multiple times, he indicates, "I'm reminding you of these things." Or the writing of Paul to the Thessalonians, where he says, "You already know this stuff, and yet I'm writing to you about it." Or in 1 John chapter 2, where he says, "I'm writing to you who in whom the Word of God abides." They knew the truth of God. They knew what John was writing to them. You see, we are all subject to forgetting what we've learned. And so there is always a place in our preaching and teaching for a reminder. So here's what I want to do this morning. I want to spend some time talking about some of the present and future activity taking place within this local fellowship, the body of Christ, at Nashua. And then after having done that, I want us to step back and examine this activity through the lens of the gospel. We need to make sure, brothers and sisters, that we have the right perspective about all of this activity as we press forward. I've entitled this, you'll see this title later, simply Facing Forward. Facing Forward. I almost thought about spring preview because I'm thinking about spring. I bet you are too. I like talking about spring. But you get the idea. We're facing forward, looking ahead. Now, this will not be the kind of lesson that you typically hear. This is largely a presentation for the members of this church. And so I want to say a word to our guests. First of all, welcome. We're very glad that you're here. And I want to tell you, you're going to hear some things that will be relevant to your life. You're going to hear about some spiritual opportunities that you and your family can take advantage of. And look, we're glad for you to know about the things that are going on here. We want you to know what we're doing. We want you to know why we're doing them. So keep in mind what we just considered about the activity within the human body. And let's talk now about what's happening here at Nashua. Boy, there has just been a lot going on, hasn't there? For starters, we've undergone some significant change recently as the result of following the instruction of the Holy Spirit in Scripture. We now have 14 men serving this church as either elders or deacons. By the way, thank you, Nick, for remembering us in prayer. I've been greatly encouraged at how each of these groups of men have been active. I mean, hit the ground running, taking their new responsibilities seriously, meeting frequently, been working together. I've seen emails flying around as we're kind of getting a feel about how our jobs interact. I've just appreciated the efforts of these men so much. I want you to know, I believe very strongly these men, all of them, have in their hearts to glorify God in their work and to serve this church faithfully and well. And that's something that we can feel very good about and something for which we can be thankful to God. Our leaders are active. You're going to hear that word a lot this morning. Our leaders are active in serving this body. And we benefited as a church from this already. Very recently, the elders established a vision and goals for 2018 for this congregation. In fact, those goals were presented, I think, what was it, 2 weeks ago? Was it 2 weeks ago? Okay, on February the 4th. These goals will guide us as we carry out the mission that the Lord has given. By the way, if you haven't picked up a copy, I think that's the box down here. You can pick up a copy down here. Don't know if they're out there anywhere. But it's a two-page listing of the goals with a statement of purpose at the beginning. Pick one of those up, and if you forget where they are, come see me. I'll help you find a copy of them. But we want all the members to have a copy of that. So make sure that you pick that up. This church is going to be busy this year. This church is going to be active this year. Much of that activity revolves around the teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, starting with our regular slate of Bible classes. Our Bible class plans, of course, for 2018 are in full swing. Our adult and teen classes are exploring the Old Testament with a focus on Christ, and we're looking at that on different levels. We began looking at the Psalms, in fact, last Wednesday night. We're in the book of Genesis in our other classes. Multiple members of this church have been involved with or will be involved with the development of this material. So we have a number of people who are active in helping to make that happen. And then our younger classes, I believe, are going through our spiritual heritage material. And we have several who are active in that. As always, we're very thankful for the planning and dedication of our teachers in striving to put together excellent classes. But that's far from being the only teaching that this church is presently active in pursuing. On selected Sunday afternoons, our brother Danny has been organizing opportunities for members to go to Newmark Care Center just down the road and spend time there with the residents, singing hymns and praying with them and sharing a little bit in the Word of God and listening to a presentation of the Word of God. And I know that many of you have been able to attend that. So we have a number of members who are active in those opportunities. And then we have other members who've taken it on themselves to organize a number of different gatherings for our teens and preteens to get together, to spend time together, to serve other people together. Most importantly, to study God's Word together, pray together, deepen the bonds of spiritual fellowship between them. We have a number of people who are involved with making that happen. And then there are other things. We're just talking about some things that are going on here at Nashua. There are a number of opportunities coming up during the next several weeks, not just to hear God's Word ourselves, but indeed to get others plugged into the gospel as well. We've been announcing March 11 through the 14th. That's 3 weeks from today, if I've counted correctly. 3 weeks from today, modern day stories, true stories of people and their lives, and the hard questions that those stories raise, and answers that God gives. We'll talk more on that a little bit later. And then later on in this year, in the month of June, we'll have our annual Vacation Bible School. And I think the dates, did I get this right, is it June 17th through the 20th? Did I get that right? Okay, looking at Missy to make sure I got that right. The theme, I believe, Time Travelers with Jesus, Discovering Jesus from Eternity Past to Eternity Future. Sure sounds like that aligns very well with our Bible class theme. Again, an excellent opportunity for our young people, and I know, again, several of you will spend hours and hours preparing for that important event. And then also, on an ongoing basis, we continue to work on arranging various home studies, small group studies, community Bible study opportunities, which, of course, we'll make known as we move forward. These studies, likewise, will involve a number of different actions and require the involvement of many. And then beyond the efforts of that we've just mentioned that are designed to share the gospel with others, there are just a host of other things, other projects that members here are involved with, whether it has to do with the design, enhancing the design and use of our website, or building maintenance. Several of you showed up to help paint this back hallway not long ago, or the training of worship leaders. So many things going on here at Nashua. A lot going on in this church. Okay, so then the question becomes, what are we to think about all of that? I'll put those couple of other things on there. What are we to think about all of that? Should we as a church be satisfied by the mere fact that this church is busy with lots of stuff? No, I don't think we should be satisfied just because this church is busy. Should we as individual members begin to feel overwhelmed at all of the opportunities that there are to be involved? Well, I hope that's not the case. I hope you're not overwhelmed. So then what perspective or what perspectives do we need to maintain about all of this activity within the body of Christ at Nashua? That brings us then back to our text once again, to Ephesians chapter 4. As we face forward, I want us to just simply be reminded of some important principles related to the fact that the church is described as a body. Now, I don't anticipate these will take an incredibly long time, so we may be done a little bit early this morning. I know, stop the presses. That never happens. But we'll see how this goes. Let's look in the scripture and note first, these points I'm just going to tell you in advance are a little bit wordy. So if you're taking notes, we go too fast, I can give you the outline later. Here's one observation from the text. As we face forward, we must remember this, that the body must remain active. And then I've tagged on to this important phrase, the body must remain active as the head directs. A healthy body is not dormant or in a state of hibernation. Remember the excerpt that we considered from the book by Dr. Simmons about how much activity goes on in our bodies. In a body, we should expect there to be lots and lots of activity. Check it out. Verses 15 and 16, pick up on the verbs. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. What's the body doing? The body is growing. The body is, members are supplying. The body is working. The body is building up. The body is active. So let's don't get overwhelmed by the fact that there's lots and lots of activity. The church is, after all, a body. And bodies should be active, provided that the activity is authorized and directed by the brain, the spiritual sense, the head, Christ Jesus. There should be lots and lots of activity. Look, Jesus doesn't want local churches and its members to sit around doing nothing. I know that you know this, but that's something we need to be reminded of. A church that just assembles, maybe takes attendance, but not much more than that. Look, that's not a church that is functioning well. A church is not functioning as a body. Not functioning like that at all. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Just a sampling. I mean, from the very early days of the establishment of the kingdom, in Acts 2 and verse 42, we see that the knowledge of salvation produced a flurry of devotional activity. Acts 2, verse 42. It says they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And verse 43 says, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. Proper activity within the body flows from a reverence for Christ Jesus, by being filled with a sense of awe, being on fire about God and about salvation. And so divinely guided activity is just an inevitable byproduct of that. But we need to say more. Not only must the body remain active as the head directs, it's not just activity. Further, secondly, this body must remain united in purpose. Concerning its true purpose. Really didn't word that very well. This body must remain united concerning its true purpose. United in focus. Imagine what our bodies would be like. Think about what we read at the beginning. And everything that's going on. What if those processes were not working together? What if all that activity was not working, what's a good way to say this, in concert? I like that because when you hear the word concert, what do you think of? You think of an orchestra. And if the orchestra is playing, you can tell if the orchestra is playing together versus if it's not, right? What would happen if all of a sudden the processes in your body stopped working in concert with one another? I'm not sure I'd want to know what that feels like. That would be a body that is out of order. That would be a dysfunctional body. That would be very much an unhealthy body. And it probably wouldn't take you very long to discover that. You'd be heading to the doctor to figure out, okay, how can we get things, as we say, lined out again? Get everything working together. All of the body's activities, processes, and this is true of our own bodies, or certainly the church, should work in concert to achieve an overall purpose. Now look in the text again. Ephesians chapter 4. What's part of that purpose? Notice verse 16. From whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part. What's all of this about? Causes the growth of the body. That's what it's all about. For the building up of itself in love. And we could tag on some other things to that from looking at some other passages, but what are we about? We are about advancing the kingdom, growing the body, and helping those in Christ grow as members. And of course, I say all of that to remind us, and I want us to hear this, We should never be satisfied simply with being busy. I've seen churches from time to time over the years become satisfied with just being busy. You might say they were busy with being busy. And they lost sight of their true purpose. We could tag on to this 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Where there the church is described as the pillar and support of the truth. Again, our purpose is to hold up the gospel. Our purpose is to guide people into a relationship with Christ Jesus and to help disciples to grow in that relationship. There's always a danger amidst a flurry of activity to forget what a local church needs to be focused on. I believe we're focused on the right things here. But this is an important reminder. The Bible teaches that we have been won by the love of God to the end that we may win others. To borrow the language of 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. Run in such a way that you may win. We're about winning, as the Bible describes. So, for example, why so much focus on a spring series or websites and home studies and devos? What is that all about? There's a purpose for all of it. We're trying to shine the light of Christ, starting with our own lives, but then verbally share the good news of Jesus Christ and lay the gospel on as many hearts as possible. That is our purpose as a congregation. We want people to know Christ. We want people to grow in Christ, to become disciples, and to follow Him as disciples should. I alluded earlier to the goals for the Nashua Church. If you read that, you will have read a statement like this that the elders put at the very beginning. I want to read this again in your hearing, because that's what's on the elders' mind, is us having a focus on our purpose. The last sentence of the introductory paragraph says, each one, in other words, each of these goals, is governed by our God-given purpose of guiding people into a relationship with Christ and growing that relationship. There it is. And it references Matthew chapter 28 and verses 19 and 20. So the body must remain united, I should say, in focus on its true purpose. And then number three, the body certainly needs all of its members involved, all of its members engaged. We go again to the text in Ephesians 4, verse 16 again, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body. Do you see the cause and effect there? Member engagement is essential to bodily growth. Every member is fitted for service. Every member supplying. Every member engaged. Every member working. Now look, let's be clear about this. I realize that every one of us in this room has limitations, right, to what each of us can do within the body. That's okay. Kind of sounds like we're all different, right? That's just the way a body is designed. That's why the body is not just one member that does everything. But we're saying here that every member does need to be involved in the body in some way. If nothing else, I mean, there are a lot of things we could say about this morning, but there are certainly things that all of us, every member, can and should be doing because we are members. When the body comes together to worship, I'm there worshiping. Now, I don't really need to say that to the 9:30 crowd. You're here. When the body exercises discipline, I'm on board with that. When the body proclaims the gospel, I'm contributing time and resources to that important work. In fact, let me challenge you a bit this morning. I believe every member, one of the things that every member can do, is just share an opportunity with someone else. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the need to extend opportunities to others to hear the gospel proclaimed. Every member can invite someone, therefore, to this series of lessons coming up. In fact, I want to give you a challenge, okay? We've got a number of materials that have been prepared. We have, you should have received in your mailbox a flyer, and then we've got these postcards this morning. And of course, we have a number of other tools for sharing this opportunity, right? We've got the Facebook page. We've got the website. In fact, both of these things reference the website. You can simply just direct people to it. Here's the challenge. You ready? Well, I challenge all of us to do something. I want you to see if you can invite five people. Now, if you do a share on Facebook, there's one already. If you've already done that, boom, you got that done. Share is easy. I mean, you just click that and you're done. Okay? So be creative about that. Use the postcards. Leave it at the restaurant. Just hand the card. Say, we've got this coming up. Check out the website. Keep it simple. But look, brothers and sisters, there is power in duplication. If God can use you, do you believe God could use one person in a mighty way to advance the gospel? Do you believe that? If God can use one person, do you think he can use 10? And if you think he can really use 10, do you think he can use 100? We made 500 of these postcards. If we have 100 people invite, use five postcards, well, we'll have to print more postcards. That's okay. Okay? Five people. There's power in that. There are things that all of us can and should be doing. Look, not everybody can lead a Bible study. That's just not everyone's strength. So what about simply inviting someone? Share an opportunity. But beyond all of these things, we just need to be people ourselves who are plugged in, who are connected, who are engaged with other members, plugged into the work, connected with the shepherds, and most of all, connected with the chief shepherd, Christ Jesus. You see, the church and Christ are inseparably connected. You don't leave one without leaving the other. One's the body. One's the head. Christ died so that we could have connection. The head wants us to be connected, active, taking our cue from him and focused on his cause as a member of the body. Well, I did get done early. Imagine that. You can go tell your friends, so you'll never believe it. Let's get ready to sing the invitation song.